glad to have everyone here with us tonight. Good to see families here tonight and new babies, and that's always exciting. I'm certainly glad to have everyone here tonight as we study again from God's Word for just a few moments tonight. If you preach on a holiday, it's very difficult for the speaker a lot of times because of the fact that you realize that many times people are wanting to get to where they're going. And it's always difficult for a speaker in that way. But we would invite you to turn to the passages tonight that we'll look at. And either in the Bible or certainly on the chart. A lot of times you go to the mall or somewhere else and people will be taking a survey. And you'll get to ask or answer some questions about a survey. And maybe it'd be like this one. I saw this one on the internet a while back. What book contains the following? If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Or you shall keep my statutes, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. But as for these enemies of mine, who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them here before me. Or if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Or this one, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And the average person might look at that and think, well, you know, there's a lot of hateful things on there. I tell you what. All those things must be found in the Quran. That's what a lot of people came up in the survey saying. But it's the Bible. And people say, the Bible? The Bible says things like that? Well, I put my own together for you. The Constitution of the United States of America. In the Constitution of the United States of America, it says representatives shall be apportioned by adding to the whole number of free persons. One of the things in the Constitution. At that time, slaves weren't counted. The Senate shall be composed of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof. It's in the Constitution. In every case, after the choice of the president, the person having the greatest number of votes of the electors shall be the vice president. The Constitution. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. But it doesn't say anything about sex. The the manufacture, the sale, the transportation of intoxicating liquors is hereby prohibited. It's our Constitution. When we look at this, though, we see that if you're in middle school, certainly you learned this, hopefully, in your civics class, that the Constitution has been amended. And you must consider the amendments in order to understand the Constitution. In the Bible, though, he states in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That's what we just want to talk about for a couple of minutes tonight, sort of a Bible 101 class here tonight. We see, first of all, that as we handle aright the word of truth, that the Bible contains both the Old and the New Testament. The little fellow that was sitting on my lap tonight, he has a Bible at home and he likes to read the Bible stories. And his mommy was telling me the other day that he had his giraffe out and he had his elephant out. And the elephant told the giraffe, said, you must, in the name of the Lord, die. Well, he had gotten the Old Testament down, but he hadn't quite gotten to the New Testament yet. We see in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 1 and 2, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So when you read that in the book of Hebrews, one of the things you can understand very quickly is that not everything in the Bible is for us. Not everything in the Bible is for us. We understand in the Old Testament, the Old Testament was for the spiritually immature. We see in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 24 and then in verse 25 as well, it says, so then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Well, what was the Old Testament? The Old Testament was a covenant between God and Israel. We make covenants today. Maybe you make a covenant with someone about building a house for you. Maybe you're going to spend $250,000 on a house. And you've made a covenant with somebody regarding that. They are going to build you the house you want, and you're going to give them $250,000. And there's a covenant that you both made. But we see that Israel never kept it. We see in Jeremiah chapter 31, and in verse 32, Jeremiah 31 and verse 32, it says in verse 32, and not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Israel never kept it, so it remained in force. But we see in Hebrews chapter 10, the beginning of verse 9, it says, Jesus quoted as saying, behold, I have come to do your will. And he did. He kept the law of God. So we understand that he could end this covenant, and he did. We see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, the latter part, verse 10, he does away with the first in order to establish the second, and by that will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now back for a minute to what we read at the beginning of the lesson. The first two quotes that we read at the beginning of the lesson, they were from the Old Testament. Stoning a rebellious son and not mixing materials in your clothing. You couldn't do that. Well, we understand very quickly that these things are not for us today. They're not for us to observe today. But it's interesting when we see other people trying to worship God. We see them trying to amend the Word of God. Now, we understand that people, they amend the Constitution. We understand that people rule concerning America. We understand that if enough people get together and want something amended in the Constitution, they're able to do that. But are we able to do this religiously? Are we able to do this spiritually? Are we able to amend what God has told us to do? Well, a lot of things today, find people now having incense and dancing and worship service. I've even seen as far as one Church of Christ in, I think it's Dallas, that they wanted to do away with the people that were having problems with alcoholism, so they put a bar in the back of the church. Well, is that in the New Testament? Is that in the Word of God? Does that go in direct contradiction to what God says, what Christ says concerning that and being drunk? Maybe the seventh day, the Sabbath. Maybe it's that of instrumental music. About everybody's doing instrumental music now. Even those in the Lord's church now. See, those that were maybe moderately conservative for a period of time, all of a sudden now they're changing their mind, saying we need to bring in people. And in order to bring in people, we have to have instrumental music. We have to have a service. Maybe we'll have a 9 o'clock service, maybe for the people that just want to sit around. But then at the 11 o'clock service, we'll bring in guitars and drums and everything, and we'll just have a big old time. You can amend the Constitution, but you cannot amend the Word of God. Because the Word of God is not people rule. It's God rules. Salvation on the same basis as the thief on the cross. Used to be an argument that I would hear a lot. I don't hear the argument hardly anymore because nobody knows anything about the Bible anymore, it seems like. Especially people of other denominations. They're just very satisfied to just have somebody tell them something, not study anything whatsoever. Also, we must consider the context and who is speaking. In Luke chapter 19 and in verse 27, Luke chapter 19, verse 27, it says, "But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me." Now who's speaking here? Well, Jesus is telling the story here. But how do you keep this in context? When you read this, you think, oh my goodness here. What he's saying is that if anybody is going to reject him, we're supposed to bring these people and kill them immediately. There's religions that are like that. But is this something in context with what he's saying? Is he saying here in chapter 19, what I want you to do, I want you to go, and the people that don't believe in me, I want you to kill? No, not at all. We see in chapter 19, in verse 12, it says, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. We understand during that period of time, that's what would occur when they would go someplace and come back, and the people that didn't want to follow that man's rule, well, that nobleman, he would put those people to death. The nobleman does represent Jesus, but the punishment of the rebels is what would be expected of such a nobleman. But Jesus is talking about love. Jesus is talking about, as we talked this morning, talking about kindness. Well, number three here, as we move through this very quickly, we must learn the meaning of words as they were originally used. Let me just give you an example here. It says in Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, does that mean I'm supposed to despise Lynn? Am I supposed to despise my children? Am I supposed to despise my mother and father? No. Doesn't mean that. Well, let's look a little further here and see if we can figure out what's being said. How does the Bible use the word hate? How does the Bible use the word hate? Well, in two passages here that just go side by side. First, Genesis 29, verse 30. It says, so Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. Just the next verse down. This will explain what hate is to you. It says in verse 31, the next verse, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb and Rachel was barren. He loved Rachel more than Leah. He loved Leah less. That's all it means. That you love something or someone less. We must learn the meaning of words as they're originally used. Maybe a Bible word like the Sabbath. When I used to watch the Andy Griffith Show, on the Andy Griffith Show back in the 60s, when they would come out of church on Sunday morning, they would say, good Sabbath to somebody. And somebody else, they would greet over here, and they'd say, good Sabbath to you as well. Well, we understand in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 1, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week. So we understand that that is rest, and that rest was supposed to be on a Saturday. Maybe the word church, when I talk to the average person about church, they're talking about a building. I recognize that immediately, especially in this society today with the knowledge that people have of the Word of God. But when the Bible talks about church, it says they arrived and they gathered the church together. People in a locale who would all come together. Or maybe baptism. And of course, there's just different ideas about baptism still, about the fact of sprinkling and pouring. I think there's one religious group now that runs you under a flag now, that you can be saved being run under a flag. So very interesting concerning different people. But he says here in Colossians 2 and in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. You think about the verses that we read at the beginning of the sermon tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, or thieves, or the greedy, or drunkard, revilers, swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And you think to yourself, we studied on Wednesday night a couple of years ago. I had gotten a copy of the New Queen James Version. Not the New King James Version, the New Queen James Version. And I had put up different passages up here on the overhead concerning it. And I don't know, we might have studied it for a month or two. Well, somebody looks at these passages and say, well, I tell you what, Rob, this just doesn't fit the 21st century. Really, it didn't fit the first century either. But these people, they turned. These people made a change in their life. But people are shocked. People are shocked that something like that is in the Bible. Now your last point tonight, the lesson's yours. All I'm trying to get you to see is the Bible is not the constitution of a democracy. If the people, if they say, well, I tell you what, we're just fed up with this idea of coming on Sunday morning and having the Lord's Supper together and the people rule and enough people get together and they say, we're going to start having services on Friday night instead. Maybe on Saturday night. I got better things to do on Sunday morning. Of course, we can't do that. Because this isn't a democracy. The New Testament is the law of a kingdom. The king's purpose is not to let us do what we want to do, but to prepare us for eternity in heaven. The king has the authority to determine who is going to be the citizens of this kingdom and who may not be the citizens of this kingdom. We just read there a moment ago, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. You stay with that life. I talked this morning about the fact of a heart changing in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. And when your heart changes, your behavior should change as well. And this is the message he's trying to get across to these people as well. And thanks be to God that they did. They did change. How to become a citizen? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So, the decision is ours. What are you going to do? Are you going to accept the authority of the king? Are you going to be one that works behind the scenes and try to amend what the Bible has said? There's been a lot of people that have done that in the past. And they've been very successful in doing so. But they're not pleasing to God. Because to accept the authority of the king, you prepare for heaven. Or you reject it. And you can be lost eternally. Whatever you need, baby, we invite you to come right now. All together we stand and we sing.